page 151. This morning we'll hear a little bit about Jesus, the resurrection and the life, and how he ruins funerals by bringing those who trust in him back to life. That'll be the focus of our worship. Otherwise, I think things should be pretty familiar to the way we normally do things. Before we begin our service, though, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, in this world we walk in the midst of death. We struggle, we hurt, we see suffering and pain, and worst of all, we feel the loss of loved ones leaving this life. But we have hope and trust in you. You come into this world to defeat death, to grant life, and to promise to all of us eternal life with you and your kingdom, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever. Amen. We begin our service with our opening hymn, hymn number 818, In Thee Is Gladness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn in your bulletin insert to the introit. We'll sing that together.
Thank you.
The epistle is from Ephesians, chapter 3. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today comes from both the Old Testament and the Gospel lessons from this morning, especially these words. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Thus far, our text. Your friends in Christ, in our Gospel lesson for this morning, there's a funeral. How many funerals have you been to? How many services with a loved one or a friend lying in state have you been at? Can you remember any of the sermons that were preached? What they were about? Did they talk about what a nice person the deceased is? Do they remember funny anecdotes from their lives? Did they talk about how Uncle Bill liked to fish and spent all of his time doing so? Or that Aunt Millie sewed and made beautiful quilts all the time? What was the main thrust of all the funerals that you've been to? What did they talk about? Did they mention Jesus? Jesus as Savior. Jesus as resurrection and the life. Jesus as Lord God, crucified, died, and risen to grant life to all who trust in him. Because when Jesus shows up at a funeral, amazing things happen. Did you see what happened in this morning's gospel lesson when Jesus showed up to a funeral? He ruined it. He barges right in and wrecks everything. It had all been arranged perfectly. The widow had arranged the details with the funeral director, had sat in the awkward parlor, picked the songs for the service, and handed the funeral director the outfit her son was to wear. The body being carried out of town was wrapped up nicely in a casket. There had been the final viewing, where everyone had made the awkward comments. Oh, they look so nice, even though they're dead. The widow's friends had told the widow all the awkward things we say, like, at least he lived a good life. He'll live on in your heart. Now he's an angel looking down from above. The pallbearers were carrying the body to the grave in a large procession. And mourners lined the route. All that was left for this funeral from our gospel lesson to be completed was to lay the man in his grave and to go back to church and have sandwiches and jello salad. Then Jesus shows up and he ruins the whole thing. He wrecks it all by raising that dead man and giving him back to his mother. Now the young man is alive, and all the awkward comments are meaningless. He looks better alive than he looked dead. And with a live body, there's no need for a casket any longer. With no casket, there's no need for a grave. Without a grave, there's no need for a motorcycle-shaped headstone. Without the headstone, there's no reason for garden lights or votive offerings of a bier sitting on the headstone. And if that's not enough, even the funeral meal is wrong. Why would you have sandwiches and jello salad when someone who was dead has been raised back to life? Champagne would be more appropriate. It's a celebration. What joy! Jesus has brought this dead young man back to life. But at the same time, he ruined the whole funeral. Dear friends in Christ, let's be clear. Jesus has a habit of wrecking funerals. He does it all the time. He has a habit of raising the people who are dead at the funeral. Lazarus, dead and in the grave for 3 days. Mourners still gathered and eating leftover jello salad when Jesus shows up. And he crashes their celebration of life party. He goes to the grave and he calls Lazarus forth, still wrapped in the grave cloths, but now alive. What about the daughter of Jairus? Well, Jesus ruins that funeral as well, before it even has a chance to get planned, before the casket is bought, before the clothes are ready to put on the deceased. Jesus arrives at Jairus' home and takes Peter, James, and John and the girl's father and mother into the house. He tells the mourners not to weep because the girl is only sleeping. And they laugh at him because they know better. They know the girl's dead and that death is forever. Jesus takes the girl by the hand and says, "Little child, arise." Another funeral destroyed by the presence of Jesus. We haven't even talked about our Old Testament lesson yet, where Jesus ruins a funeral that he's not physically present at just by the preaching of his servant, his pastor. Another dead body back to life, alive. You see, dear friends, Jesus ruins every single funeral at which he shows up. All of the funerals at which Jesus attends end in resurrection, not death. Death has no power in the presence of Jesus. Death cannot overcome the resurrection and the life. Death cannot slow down the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus loves all and wishes for life to continue. For that reason, Jesus should come to our funerals, and he does, to meet death, your death and my death, head on. And when Jesus collides with death, he conquers it. He destroys it. He flattens it. He crushes it with his life. And he does so for you and for me. Jesus destroys funerals. And so it is that Christian funerals are are not, as so many people think, about the person who's dead. They're more so about our Lord Jesus, who conquered the grave. Christian graves are not final resting places for those who have died, because one day Jesus will raise all the dead on earth. Christian tombs are not places to leave offerings or garden lights, as if Christ's work on the cross were not enough to provide for the one buried there. Christian funerals, graves, and tombs are all about Jesus. The life that cannot be destroyed by the cross. The one who cannot be held in by a tomb. The one who shares his life with you through the waters of baptism. Our graves, tombs, and funerals are all about Jesus, who will one day bring us back to life. So let's thank our God that Jesus has come. Let's thank God that Jesus comes to our funerals, to ruin them, to grant life to those who die in his name. I hope Jesus shows up at my funeral. Do you want him at yours? The truth be told, so often when death faces us, when funerals are near, we lose sight of Jesus. We're too overcome by grief. We're too focused on the one that we've lost. We spend too much time arguing about what color of casket Grandpa would have wanted. We remember that Uncle Bill liked to fish. And so we talk about driving Uncle Bill to the cemetery propped up in his fishing boat. Yes, I've really had to have a conversation about that with people. We like to remember that our Aunt Millie listened to Billy Graham on the radio back in the day, and we want that old Baptist spiritual to be at her funeral. We might even remember that Mom sewed all those quilts, so we desire to put her sewing machine into the casket with her, even though she'll never use it. We get lost, overwhelmed by all of these things and the decisions and the pain and the hurt, that oftentimes we forget to invite Jesus to the funeral. And at the funeral itself, so many times we want people to remember our loved ones, to stand up and talk about a fun story that they remember. We want to remember their good deeds, their works, their donations. We want a building or a room or an item named after them. And those things are fine, dear friends in Christ, so long as we also remember Jesus. And so long as we remember Jesus all the more, because it's Jesus that brings back to life. It's Jesus who ruins funerals every single time. You see, where Jesus is present at a funeral, he brings his word with him. A word that says, blessed are those who die in the Lord, blessed indeed, for they shall rest from their labors. A word that says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And we sing the words of Jesus. I know that my Redeemer lives. And then from death awaken me, that these my eyes with joy may see. O Son of God, thy glorious face. O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side. And with his word, Jesus destroys death every single time. Friends in Christ, Jesus destroys death. He ruins funerals by bringing the deceased to life. And he promises to be at your funeral one day, present by his word. Promises that death will not be your end, Christian. It will not. But instead, in him, you shall live. One day he'll stand next to your casket and speak out, I say to you, arise, come forth, and you'll get up from the grave. Jesus promises. Jesus meets death head on. He crushes it. He destroys it. He ruins death and makes it run backwards. That's why he comes to ruin funerals. He comes to be your life, your hope, your Savior. He comes to bring his bloody, gruesome death to take away your death. He gives his life for you so that he might raise you from the dead, return you to your loved ones, and destroy your funeral forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we stand and confess our faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.
rooted and grounded in love, know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, and be filled with the fullness of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church throughout the world, and for an increase in faithful servants sent out into the harvest, that the proclamation of the gospel would resound in all places, sinners of all nations would hear and believe, and Christ's kingdom would be expanded. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, for the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Heavenly Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that they would be diligent in their studies, compassionate and loving in their duties, and humble in their care, always recognizing that they are in need of the gospel every bit as much as those they are called to serve. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who live in lands where persecution and poverty are severe, that they would put their trust in Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, and according to His will, find refuge in our more hospitable places. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, especially Jack Krieger, grandson of Joe Roberts, recovering from surgery, for Kyra Stradley, for safety during travel and 3-week study in China, for Willis Lichten, awaiting MRI results, for the family of Pastor Calvin Rink, cousins of Mark and Lori Rinke, and John and Cindy Olson, who was taken to his heavenly home recently, and also for Donna, Katie, Diane, Jeanette, Kirk, Janet, Nicole and Ron, Anna, Scott, Deborah, Justin and Louisa, Jerry, Kay, Lori, Jake, Al, Willis, Dorothy, Shay, Mackenzie, Jeanette, Sharon, a relative of one of the members, Joyce, Julie, Lyle, Richard, Cindy, Carol, Daryl, Tanya, Dan, Judy, the family of Calvin Rinke, and Pastor Poppy and Barb as they are traveling. That God would incline his ear to hear our prayers, heal and restore them according to his will, and keep them in the faith that leads to eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those recovering from the Hurricane Florence on the East Coast, and especially with those dealing with the flooding in North and South Carolina, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all people who receive the Holy Eucharist this day, that they would recognize that God visits his people at the holy altar in the very body and blood of Christ, receive forgiveness of their sins, have their faith strengthened, and depart in peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the saints who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that we would be kept in the faith until we are raised with them on the last day to dwell in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
This time we have what we call the right to fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. Visitors, if you'll let us know that you're here, and that way we can acknowledge your presence with us. Everyone else, if you would also fill that out, pass that pew down, pad down, we appreciate that. This time we also collect our offering. This time we stand and continue by singing the offertory. To the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
And earth, for You have had mercy on those whom You created, and sent Your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with Your word and Spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
This time we sing our closing hymn, hymn number 488. You may be seated. This morning. A couple announcements to bring to your attention. We do invite you to stay for a Bible study back in the, what do we call it, parish hall? Okay, that's what we called it in North Dakota, so we'll go with that. Back in the parish hall over there. Kids, if you want to go get your snacks and come back here, we'll have a Sunday school opening as well, and then we'll let you head off to your classes. While we're gathered here, Pastor Poppy is on vacation, enjoying a little time away down in Florida, so we'll keep him in our prayers. We do want to keep on getting names together. We just about have a class worth for a summary of Christian doctrine class. If you're interested in that, let me know, and we'll make sure to add your name to that as well. Church council on Tuesday night. A couple other things that are in your news and notes. Take a look at those on your own. Vicar, anything I've forgotten?
Nothing I'm aware of.
No? All right. Well, we wish...
Voters meeting next Sunday.
Voters meeting, that's right. not just church council, but also a voters' meeting next Sunday, and that'll be the first part of the Bible study in between the two services. We'll take a look at, I think, refinancing the church loan, and I think that's been talked about previously, but we have to vote on the exact wording, and so we invite you here next Sunday for that, right, the very first part of Sunday school. Anything else I've forgotten? All right. If not, we wish you God's blessings and a great week in the Lord.